Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining me today. This is Dr. Ruth. Jesus is Lord. If this is your first time, thank you for joining me today. We are in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11 still, a very lengthy chapter. Today we will wrap up this chapter. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, if you are not aware, and it is an expository Bible teaching study, which will help you gain a deeper revelation and understanding of God and the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, hopefully you have listened to the previous sessions because we are moving along here. So, what is the gist of these upcoming verses? Boy, these are some powerful verses because the Lord Jesus would pronounce several woes on to the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of his day. And a woe, if you are not aware, is a strong expression of disgust. It's a strong expression of righteous anger that came from the Lord Jesus towards the Pharisees because of their hypocrisy, because of their ungodliness. It's like a strong feeling of regret and remorse for ungodly character and mannerisms. And since the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, he is still lamenting, he is still expressing a deep woe to those who are hypocrites, to those who are living ungodly lives. And the whole idea is a call to repentance, okay? Because God desires that each of us should come into this relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So these woes, as I said, righteous anger, but the outcome is to search your heart and to repent and to come into this vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So we are going to pick it up here, but before I continue, I really want to encourage you to listen to the entire session so you can get the best out of it. And I want to encourage you to get my book that is going to really help you gain a deeper revelation about the person Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. This book is simply titled, Who is the Real Jesus? Answers to 25 of the toughest questions about the real Jesus. Simple and straightforward to the point answers that will change your life. This book is powerful. It will help you to gain a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. You can get it from us through our ministry if you live in the continental USA. We are only asking for a donation of $25. That includes shipping and handling. So visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. We are also on Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. You can also Zelle in your donation if you live in the continental USA. That telephone number is 909-501-9031, and we will attach the links in the description box so you can just click and visit our website to get this book, Who is the Real Jesus? It will really bless you, and your donation of $25 come to the ministry as a love gift, which will help us to produce more programs and pay for studio time. So thank you in advance for getting that book, which is powerful. Okay, so Luke 11 verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking what? Again, if you had listened to the previous session, the Lord Jesus had talked about the sign of Jonah, and he had talked about how our eyes is really the lamp of the body, referring to spiritual discernment. So please go back and listen to that session after today's session when you are through with today's session, okay? Okay, so just to repeat that, verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. Verse 38, and if you're not aware, if you're listening to me for the first time, I had described this over and over during the ancient Jewish culture or religious system. During the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, they had various religious sects, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots and the Essenes. So the Pharisees were religious leaders during that time, and they were supposed to be religious teachers of the Old Testament law, okay? Just so you understand what's going on. So these Pharisees had invited the Lord Jesus to eat with him. So the Lord Jesus went. We are now in verse 38. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Now, as I just explained, the Pharisees were supposed to be religious leaders and teachers of the law of Moses. They had added hundreds of other laws to the law of Moses and placed a heavy burden onto the people. One of them was they had this religious practice where they had to wash their hands in a certain way to get rid of all contamination so that others can see that they are clean before they would sit down to eat. So this Pharisee was shocked that when he invited the Lord Jesus, Jesus didn't do any of those religious man-made rules. Okay, so that is what's going on here. Verse 39. Now, obviously, the Lord Jesus had seen that the Pharisee was surprised, so he would speak. So we are now in verse 39. Then the Lord Jesus said, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." Exactly. The Pharisees were so concerned with outward display, the way people perceived them. They were trying to please people. They were more concerned about looking good outwardly, but their hearts, they were wicked, greedy, self-centered people. They didn't care for the people. They didn't love other people except themselves. So the Lord Jesus, in his righteous anger, started to call out the Pharisees' hypocrisy. Verse 40, "You foolish people." Whoa, that's the Lord Jesus now. Are we talking about the same Jesus here that people perceive him as meek? So this is righteous, godly anger. So as Christians, we are called to express righteous anger towards ungodliness. Okay, not anger towards selfish needs. When we express anger, we should do so towards the evil one, Satan. Just like we see the Lord Jesus doing here, because these Pharisees were so wicked and evil, they did not love God. So the Lord Jesus is expressing this righteous anger. He is calling them out directly, boldly. Likewise, we have to call sin, sin. We have to express righteous anger towards evil boldly without being afraid of what people would think, because God is going to be walking in and through us. Today, people tolerate ungodliness in the name of God. It is the very opposite. We should not tolerate ungodliness. Oh, come on, somebody. If we as believers stand up for righteousness, ungodliness had to flee. But we cohabitate with it. We tolerate it. We should not tolerate it. I better move on. The Lord Jesus continued. He had called them, "You foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also?" Verse 41. "But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you." Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is saying that you Pharisees, you are hypocrites. Why don't you express the love of God towards the poor? Why don't you be generous towards others? Because if the Pharisees were to do that, it would reflect the true nature of God. When you are genuinely caring towards others, or you express true compassion towards others, that is really only God walking in and through you. So the Lord Jesus is like, why don't you change from the inside and allow God to walk in you? That way the love of God can flow from you to others. He is saying the same thing to you and to myself today. We should not focus on outward appearance. We should focus on purity of the heart, because God deals with us from the heart level, not from outwards display of good works. Okay, we move on in verse 42. Whoa! Now, the Lord Jesus is going to begin this woe. The first woe, he already said it in the first verses we just went over. So this is really the second woe. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former. Exactly. The Lord Jesus is like, you give so much towards God's work, but you neglect justice, fairness, and the love of God, which are traits, qualities of God. Justice. The Pharisees were not just towards the people. The Pharisees expressed no love towards the people. So the Lord Jesus is like, you Pharisees, it's okay to give your herbs and your spices and all of your garden plants to God, but don't neglect treating people with fairness, with justice, and with love. This is so powerful. What the Lord Jesus is teaching here is, there's a principle here. God wants us to bring our offerings and our donation to Him, i.e. we give into His work. We give our tithings to church, our offerings and donations. But God wants us to be very careful that we are not deceived, that because we're giving to God, we should not harbor a heart of purity. We are called primarily to have a heart of purity towards the things of God, to share love and to treat each other fairly, justly, because God is fair, God is just. So these Pharisees were so focused on giving, but they neglected the true heart of God: justice, equality, love, service, fairness. Friend, the Lord Jesus is speaking to you today. As you give into God's work, that's not enough. Most importantly, God wants your heart to be pure towards Him. God wants your heart to be pure towards others. God wants you to allow Him to walk through you so His love can flow from you to others. So we should not just think that because I give X amount to the church, I can turn around and curse people. I could turn around and maltreat people. I can turn around and treat people unjustly. God is telling us right here that is wrong. And if you are doing that, it's time for repentance. God is more concerned about how you treat people than how much you give to His work. Oh my goodness, are you getting this? The heart has to be pure. Because once the heart is pure, meaning that the heart of man seeks the desires and the heart of God, everything else will be right. And the Lord Jesus will make that so clear here. Okay, so we move on. We go to the next woe. Here we are in verse 43. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplace. Again, these Pharisees were into outward display. They wanted to be honored by man. They wanted to be recognized by their fellow men. That is all they wanted. They didn't really love God. They didn't care for the people. As I had mentioned, God deals with us at the heart level. 1 Samuel 16:7 teaches this principle so clearly that mankind looks at the outward appearances, but God sees the heart. So these Pharisees had become so sophisticated at manipulating people. They wanted the praise of man. They wanted to be recognized, but God is like, I don't recognize that. I'm after your heart. And when we get to the Gospel of John, Jesus made this comment out of, I think it's John 5:44, the Lord Jesus, in speaking to the Pharisees, He told them, how can you believe in God when you seek honor from one another? That is so true. When people get trapped into people pleasing and people approval, that's all they're going to get. They won't get approval from God. They won't want to please God because they are so into immediate gratification of the flesh from man. But God is like, don't focus on outward appearance. Don't focus on getting recognition from man. Focus on my relationship or your relationship with me. Focus on getting reward from me, God. Because when you receive that reward from me, it would be genuine. Then the applause, the recognition, acceptance by man would follow, but it has to be focused on God first. So friend, this is so common today, is in the 21st century. We have so many religious leaders and Christians who are so into pleasing people, wanting recognition and acceptance from people, That needs to stop. If you are doing this, the Lord Jesus is like, whoa, to you, repent. Seek honor, recognition from God. Allow God to help you to love you, accept you as God created you in His image. Once you have your self-image from God, you live it out, people will recognize that and accept your genuinity. So stop faking it and making it. It doesn't work. You should be more focused on pleasing God, not anyone else. People will always fail you, but God won't. So God has to be the priority. Okay, so please repent if you are into people pleasing. We continue now. We are in verse 46. One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." So here we have teachers of the law who had heard the Lord Jesus pronouncing these words on the Pharisees. And he is like, "We get upset. You're upsetting us too." Ooh. Jesus didn't care. He was about to speak the truth in boldness and in love. Verse 46, the Lord Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you." You see, there you go. "Woe to you because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them." Exactly. As I mentioned before, the Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers of the law, they had added so many other laws to the Mosaic law. I believe there were like over 600 laws. I've read 633. I've read other commentators say 660 something. Regardless, they had added so many other man-made rules and regulations and made them law as if they came from God, but it did not. As an example, on the Sabbath day, some of them were prohibited from walking a certain way. Some of them were prohibited to using the restroom at certain times. Some of them were prohibited from even touching grain or really even engaging in certain activities. These were all man-made rules and regulations, and it had become such a burden to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people, all from the Pharisees and not from God. But these Pharisees themselves, they could not, they would not, they refused to practice what they preached. They were hardcore hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? Today, modern day hypocrites are people who confess faith in Jesus Christ. They call themselves Christians, but yet their lifestyles betray them. Their lifestyles are 180 degrees away from Christ-like attitudes. For example, people who call themselves Christians, but they do not give into God's work. They do not partake in the Great Commission. They are still living and practicing sin. Their language is still full of foul. They do not serve. They are ashamed in the workplace or outwardly to even confess Jesus Christ or to even say they are Christians. These are hypocrites. Oh, please, that needs to stop. If you are one of those, the Lord Jesus is like, woe to you, because He loves you. He wants you to stop because He wants you to receive the best He created you to become. God wants to help you, you know. If you have confessed faith in Jesus Christ and you live in opposite from what God wants you to live, you can repent today and ask the Holy Spirit to just fill you and embolden you to live the Christian life. And a lot of times when Christians are struggling, once people confess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and then they struggle to live the lifestyle, you know why? The primary reason is because they are trying to live out the Christian life on their own effort. You see, the Christian life is a supernatural life as you surrender to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, as you obey the teachings in the Word of God. You allow the Holy Spirit to enable you to live this life. You cannot do it on your own effort. So if you've been trying to tough it up, there's nothing like that. It's a surrendered life. It's a life of submission to God. And then God, the Holy Spirit, will enable you to live the life. And it is a best way to live. Whatever God says you should do is because it's best for you. Try it out. It's simple. Just surrender, okay? Don't live a hypocritical life. That is worse because you open the door for Satan to come in and kill, steal, and destroy you. That is what the Lord Jesus teaches out of the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. Okay, so the Lord Jesus had pronounced this word to the teachers. Now, let us continue here. As he continued his woe, we are now, I believe, woe number 6. And this is in verse 47. Woe to you, the Lord Jesus continued. Because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. Verse 48. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They kill the prophets, and you build their tombs. So what the Lord Jesus is alluding to here is that these Pharisees and teachers of the law in the previous generations in the nation of Israel had killed all of the righteous prophets that God the Father has sent to teach them the ways of God and the righteous laws of God. The Jewish religious leaders killed them. They didn't want to hear it. So Jesus is saying that woe to you for doing that. Okay, the Lord Jesus continued. We are now in verse 49. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute. Verse 50, therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world. Let me pause here. This is awesome that the Lord Jesus is going to say that the generation during his earthly ministry are accountable for all the prophets who had been killed since the beginning of Adam and Eve. Again, this is another teaching which I'm not going to get much into, which is why I really recommend you get my book, Who is the Real Jesus? The Lord Jesus is alluding here to what is called the new earth. Okay, alluding to the fact that the earth as we know it, mankind as we know it, has only been in existence for anywhere from 6,000 to 7,000 years. The Lord Jesus is really alluding to a young earth, not an earth that had been around for millions and millions of years. I know I'm delving into something I can't get into much, but if you get my book, Who is the Real Jesus? I explained that very well there. And in fact, in this podcast, in I believe Genesis chapter 1, I also talked about this. So you can go back and listen to that. So let me just reread this in context, and then we will find out how the Lord Jesus will say this. Okay, so towards the last verse there, the Lord Jesus, in fact, I am going to just reread verse 50 for context. Verse 50, therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world. Verse 51, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Let me pause there just in case you are not sure. The Lord Jesus talks about the righteous blood of Abel that is recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Verse 8, okay, the first righteous prophet killed, and the Lord Jesus talked about the last righteous prophet killed, Zechariah, that is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 20 through 22. So by the Lord Jesus saying this, he just summed up what I was describing as a young earth. The span of time mankind has been in this earth about 6,000 to 7,000 years. As I said, get my book, I discussed details there. But let me clarify one thing. If you are not aware, the Christian Old Testament scripture or the Old Testament books obviously ends with the book of Malachi, okay? But the Jewish Old Testament scripture, if you will, ends with Chronicles, which is why the Lord Jesus cited Zechariah out of 2 Chronicles 24:20-22 as the last prophet. Again, the Jewish Old Testament scripture begins with Genesis and end with Chronicles. But the Christian Old Testament begins with Genesis and ends with Malachi. So that is why the Lord Jesus cited Abel to Zechariah, Zechariah being the last righteous prophet, which truthfully it is. Okay, so the Lord Jesus continued, yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. I already explained that. We get to the last woe here. I think it's woe number 7, found in verse 52. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourself have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. Exactly. So what is a key to knowledge? The Lord Jesus is saying here, the key to knowledge is the godly truths, the ways of the true righteous God, and the truths revealed in the scripture that the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and the scribes, were taking it away from the people because they were teaching false notion of the law. Because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were placing all man-made rules and regulations upon the people. As a result, they were not teaching the Jewish nation the truths of God, the revelations of God, the love of God, the care that God wants them to express towards one another. In essence, they were preventing the nation of Israel or the Jews from gaining access to the key to the knowledge of the true living God. But the Pharisees themselves were not even gaining that knowledge of God because they were so hypocritical. So that is what the Lord Jesus is saying. He said, woe to you. And that applies to all false teachers today. Woe to you, the Lord Jesus is saying, if you are a Christian or a church leader and you are living a hypocritical life and you are not preaching the truth in accordance with the word of God and you are leading people astray, the Lord Jesus is like, woe to you, which means that it's time to repent of that. It's time to repent and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal godly truth to you so you can share that with others, okay? So, we continue here in verse 53. When Jesus went outside, apparently he had finished pronouncing all the woes to the people. So, in verse 53, we are told here, when Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fearlessly and to besiege him with questions. Verse 54, waiting to catch him in something he might say. That brings us to the end of this powerful chapter here, Luke chapter 11. The Lord Jesus was bold. He called a spade, he didn't water it down. That is exactly how the Lord Jesus wants us to approach ungodliness, hypocrisy, sin, and unrighteousness. Because it's only telling people the truth. And when they receive that truth, that will set them free. So, what are the major principles and applications we've learned from Luke 11 verses 37 through 53 here? Number one, God is after your heart. God is not impressed with your outward display of religiosity. He wants a relationship with you. And number two, we are learning how pleasing people is something that God dislikes, okay? So the key application here is Proverbs 29:25 says this so clear. The fear of man is a snare. In essence, it's a trap. You should not focus on pleasing people. You should not focus on your outward giving towards the church, outward display of good works. Rather, focus on a heartfelt relationship with God where you are submissive to the teachings in the Word of God, where you are submissive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, where you are living a life of obedience. Because Jesus teaches out of the Gospel of John chapter 15 that if you love him, you will obey him. Meaning you take his word, you do what his word says, you serve, you care for one another, you give genuinely because you want to advance the kingdom of God. You don't give because you want something from God. You don't give because you want others to see that you are giving. You give because you love God and you want to promote the gospel message. You want others to be set free. So you give into God's work. You serve because you know that in serving is where you find joy and you receive joy. And in serving, you are being like Christ. Okay, that is the key message here, to walk in a heartfelt relationship with God, to just open your heart to allow the Holy Spirit to change you. I hope you receive this. And friend, before we pray, I want to really encourage you to visit our website and get this book, Who is the Real Jesus? Answers to 25 of the toughest questions about the real Jesus, simple and straightforward to the point, answers that will change your life. As I mentioned earlier, it comes to the ministry, your donation rather of $25 comes to the ministry as a donation, and we put that money right back into this podcast to pay for studio time. So would you please open your heart and consider doing that? Even if you think you don't need this book, get it as a gift for someone. The teachings here are timeless, right out of the ministry of Jesus Christ, except I explain more. I provide practical ways to walk in a vibrant relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you live overseas, please get this book from Amazon, as we do not ship overseas. Again, please visit our safe and secure website, drruthtani.org/donate. We are also on Cash App at the $ Dr. Ruth Tani. And if you live in the continental USA, we receive donations through Zelle. The telephone number is 909-501-9031. We will attach all of this in the description box. So please, would you consider supporting us today with a donation by getting this book? Again, if you don't want the book, just bless us with a one-time donation, whatever the Lord puts in your heart. Thank you for doing that. Let us just thank the Lord. Father God, we thank you for such a blessed day. We thank you for such a powerful message you've left us through the ministry of Jesus Christ. I lift up all the listeners, those who are struggling with people pleasing, those who are struggling with outward display of works more than their relationship with you. God, the Holy Spirit, I pray that you just reveal truth to them. You embolden them to stand up for righteousness. I pray you embolden them to submit their hearts to you so you can just show them how much you love them, how much you want to change them, how much you've accepted them. They don't need to depend on acceptance from other people. They need to focus on acceptance that you already have available for them. I pray you just let your love and your peace and your joy anchor their souls today with these truths. Father God, we thank you for just blessing us with this powerful message. As we come to the close of this chapter, we thank you for all the lessons we have learned. We say we thank you from the bottom of our heart and thank you for blessing us with your joy and your peace. Thank you for accepting this prayer, for I have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all those who believe in this say, Amen. Friend, listen to the announcer who will tell you more how you can donate into this ministry and bless us. Again, we thank you in advance. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address, info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.